Governor Lamont, thank you for coming on the show.
Good morning, Chad.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Where are we in the curve now?
We're on the backside of the pandemic for now in southern Connecticut, but it's still rising, certainly in Hartford, and probably plateauing in New Haven County, leaking into eastern Connecticut a bit, so we're watching that closely, but still not too hit yet.
And we're doing a lot of testing now. We have the fast test in New Haven, and you entered into a new partnership, Hartford Hospital and Quest, to test more. Will that make it look like we're spiking out because we're testing more?
Yes and no. What it'll show is, oh my gosh, infections are up, and that's just a reflection in part of how much testing you're doing. That's why I always look at hospitalizations, because that's more reflective of what's going on in the broader community. But you're right, that fast Abbott lab test where you almost self-diagnose to go to CBS.com, that's our first, really broad-based mass testing. You know, we've done a 3,000 or 4,000 there. So that's where we're getting our first look at closer to the general population.
Is there a time frame being discussed for the reopening of some businesses?
Yeah, absolutely. I've given our reopening Connecticut task force a May 20 date. I've said by then we're going to have a lot more of the PPE, especially the masks that we need to help some people open. We'll at least have more information as regards testing. And I'd already told schools we weren't going to reopen before the 20th. So I think in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have a better indication of what we can open safely. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. What have you been talking about to open?
First, the things that we never closed, unlike a lot of our peers. We never closed manufacturing. My priority is to make sure we continue to do that safely by getting in the masks. We're getting tens of thousands of the fever thermometers, so we'll be able to test people going in. Obviously, what we're doing on the front line, folks. Retail, we never really closed that down if you could do pickup. We're thinking about how you can do retail, maybe on a limited basis, to get that going. Perhaps you're going to need some sort of testing on the way in or out. We're talking to thinking about that. And some things where you just have close interaction, maybe bars, that'll be a little tougher to monitor for the near term.
Gyms, AJ's interested in.
Yeah.
Hair salons, we've had a lot of people on Facebook ask about. Concerts, of course, people have been asking about. And restaurants.
Yeah. Take barbershops and nail salons. There you're in close physical contact with somebody. So it's really important that, that barber, if they haven't been tested, at least has a mask to wear. Maybe that would facilitate some things, or mask as well as the client. Same holds for nail salons. What else did you mention? You know, restaurants.
Gyms, yeah.
Restaurants and gyms. Again, you're in fairly close contact there, but a gym you can social distance if they rearrange it a bit.
Right.
So we probably ask, gyms and nail salons, give us an idea of how you could do this safely, and that will help our committee figure out what's the best way to open and when we can open. We've got a great committee. We've got the lead scientists in the state. We've got some of the best in the world here. Start with Dr. Koh, the epidemiologist from Yale, as well as Indra Nooyi, who's a corporate executive.
That May 20th date that you put out there, that's the deadline for an announcement as to what will open, or that's a deadline for the start of opening?
We told the schools you're not going to reopen before May 20th. I've told the reopening committee, I'd like you to have a date so you can focus on this. So over the next 2 weeks or so, you're going to have a lot more information. Obviously, for the schools, we'd have to notify them at least 2 weeks in advance so they can prepare. I wouldn't cross your fingers at this point schools.
I was going to ask you about that. Are you ready to say, because Massachusetts yesterday said, yeah, we're done.
That's for the year.
New York's done. Are you ready to say that we're done here for the school year?
Am I summer?
I think you got to be really careful. Chaz, if you look at the infection rate, if it continues to be going up, not accelerating, but going up in different parts of the state, then you ask, well, can I open in one part of the state, not the other part of the state? Well, hold it, but don't teachers come from all over the region to that right. school? So you can't just do it on a local basis. Those are all the things the committee's looking at.
To say schools are going to open, what would you have to see happen?
Well, the Trump-Pence COVID task force has been pretty clear on this, and they've given decent guidance, I think, which is really they've said 4 weeks of declining metrics, 4 weeks of infections and hospitalizations going down on a consistent basis. 2 weeks for tier one, but tier one we're already close to now. And tier two is when you can, you're allowed to start opening schools and the such. And that tier two, that gating is 4 weeks. So let's say we're just, our hospitalization is trending down over the last week or so.
So we really are looking at that May 20th. If all things go well, you would be able to announce school's going to open for a limited session. But then that would be 2 weeks from then, which would put you in early June. Does that make sense to get everyone geared back up for that short of
a... I don't want to leave that impression. I've got to go based on the science, and I just think it's too early to give people a sense we're ready to open. I mean, I talked to Governor Baker from Massachusetts, and I said, you know, what prompted you to close, 2 months from now, you know, end of June is a long way. A lot can happen. And he was just having a hard time figuring out buses. He was having a hard time figuring out classroom configurations.
Right.
And frankly, there were a lot of teachers and parents who did not want their kids to go to school or to be at school themselves. And I said, well, what if we do it on a voluntary basis, Charlie? And he said, well, that's the type of thing where we need some guidance from in terms of what the feds are recommending as well. So I'm still in a wait and see on that.
So you're leaving it open, but it sounds like probably not.
Yep, I'll let you know in a few weeks.
I'll get back to you.
He's not going to let me nail him down on this one anyway.
Nope.
There have been various rallies asking you to let businesses reopen, and their argument is the virus has a very low fatality rate, most of which is with people over 80 who are already retired. The most at-risk folks can self-quarantine. Why shut the state down? What's your response to that?
Well, first of all, when I look at those other states that are, quote, reopening, I see they're doing things that we never closed down. I see Texas is saying we're going to reopen the state parks so people can take a hike. We never closed those down. People are talking about maybe manufacturing can open. Well, we never closed manufacturing. We're strict about the rules there. They said maybe we'll allow retail stores if it's pickup only. Well, we always allowed retail stores pickup only. So we'll be a little clearer on what that means. Look, I get it. I mean, everybody's going stir crazy. There's cabin fever. Our economy is getting slammed. There's not enough of the paycheck protection money to support all of our small businesses. But, you heard the head of the CDC saying just yesterday, watch out for a second wave of this thing if you're not careful. And that would be a body blow to our confidence.
Yeah, I agree. I'm in the cheap seats here, but once we go out, we don't want to go back in.
Exactly.
So we got this thing on the ropes. Let's just finish the job. Is there a difference between the number of people who died with coronavirus and the people who died because of coronavirus?
Yeah, that's a really good question. The way Deborah Burks down at the COVID group is now, they keep broadening the definition. It used to be complications related to COVID. Then they said anybody who was deemed infected by COVID. And now they've said anybody who died, who had symptoms related to COVID, just on the grounds of, let's say, majority of people who perhaps died in our nursing homes or anywhere, hadn't yet been diagnosed with COVID. So the feds are going with the broadest definition, and for better or for worse, we're going with a broader definition. But I can tell you other states are going with a very narrow definition for, you know, different reasons.
The reason why I ask is a lot of parents, when we post on Facebook that you're coming on, a lot of parents with young children, toddlers and babies want to know, because we had that six-week-old baby. Was that six-week-old baby, did that baby die because of coronavirus or had coronavirus and there was other things that caused it?
The latter. The latter. I mean, nobody died of AIDS per se. They died of complications related to AIDS. AIDS, ruined your immune system and opened you up to other morbidities. I believe, and I'm not a doctor, it's similar to what you have with COVID. So it's difficult to say somebody died strictly because of the COVID infection. More likely you died of complications related to COVID. And I think that was true, sadly, of that baby. Now we've even have a, anyway, yeah. Even a fetal case. So, but I got to watch myself because right. People get stirred up in terms of these definitions.
Right. What are your thoughts on rent protection for businesses?
As you know, we got the rent protection for renters, residential. As you know, they cannot kick you out. That's in part due to the courts and part due to our grace period. And you probably know that the paycheck protection covers all businesses that get the paycheck protection in terms of all their rent. So that was about 18,000 companies here in the state, small companies, that is. So that right now is what I've got as protection for those commercial renters who are maybe getting pushed by their landlords. So that gives them at least 2 months of protection. But let me think about what else we can do there. The feds aren't going to help us out on this.
Right. We had a couple of businesses emailing questions, and, one of them has multiple locations, around 65 employees, and they already got an eviction notice because, they're just not open right now, yeah. And they can't pay the rent.
Well, A, they cannot evict you. That is that's very clear. And by the way, most of these landlords get a mortgage grace period as well, depending federal or wherever their mortgage comes from. So they have the ability to be a lot more forgiving. I think our rules say they have to be more forgiving in terms of those commercial renters. But let me get more detailed than that.
A lot of people asking about unemployment.
So, very quickly, as you know, it was 20 times below than we had during the last recession, not during a normal period. We were every state in the country.
Did you say 25 times?
Yes, 20 times.
20 times.
Wow. 20 times more than the last recession.
Wow.
Not last year, the last recession, over the course of the last, 7 weeks. The good news, the bad news is we are backed up, and it took a long time for us to get those payments out to people. The relatively good news is that almost all of those payments have come out now, either automatic deposit, I think, is the main way they do it. I believe the $600 true-up that the feds are providing is April 24th, which is right about now. The bad news is that for those freelancers, the independent contractors, the gig economy guys, that was a brand new program that the feds created. Good for them. But we haven't got that set up quite yet. Neither do they in terms of their regulations. So, I'm told by Kurt Westby that still could be a week, 10 days away.
So if someone's listening now and they're waiting for their unemployment check, what do you think the time frame would be?
I think the time frame should be that for the vast majority of them, they should have received their initial check, so to speak, and that should have been retroactive to when they were first due. If they haven't, there maybe is maybe there's a duplication or a problem with how it was filed. But I'm told by Kurt that the vast majority of those people have received their payments, except for the freelancers.
I saw on Fox 61 they had a report of someone who said she was on the phone for like 6 hours just trying to get through with a question. Is there another way to communicate with unemployment?
Yeah, certainly online is 99% easier.
Gotcha.
Kurt's got, four times the number of people there answering the calls and processing as he had, a month or so ago. But still, we haven't quite caught up on that, as your story indicates.
Masks, PPE for hospitals. We had one story here. I don't know if it's true, but a hospital in Connecticut is bringing in Tyvek, you know, that plastic they put on the plywood outside of buildings. They're bringing in Tyvek for the nurses to makeshift PPE. Is that something that would concern you? That can't be true, right?
I don't believe that. And if they're not, shame on them, because we're in close contact, first of all, with every single hospital. They've been very entrepreneurial. They've gotten a lot of their own PPE, not just depending on us, which I greatly appreciate. And I have heard very few examples of that in hospitals. I have heard of very few examples of that at some nursing homes. There they've been a little less able to get their own PPE. They've relied upon us. We've caught up almost completely now in terms of what we need. Do I have a lot of excess? No, but we have enough in order to be able to get out to the nursing homes and other first responders. Really, in the last week, supply is caught up with demand, and even a lot of our commercial contracts are beginning to pay back, which is good.
Are there fines or penalties for not wearing the masks in stores and at work?
No, I haven't recommended that as yet. Obviously, each mayor or first selectman can do their own thing in terms of enforcement. I'm finding there's a lot of self-enforcement. I'm finding that people will come up to a store which is not following our safe store rules. Maybe we get a call or somebody says, why don't you have the police stop by the store? It's a crowd. And maybe 5% of the stores fell into that category a week ago. Our guys, stopped by, maybe 100 of them over the last week or two. And it was just sort of saying, don't let this happen again.
Right.
And so far, it hasn't happened again. But if you hear it, let me know.
Mayor Elker said the fine is public shame.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
We'll go with that.
How many hours are you putting in on this a day? And what do you think you're spending the most time on?
I pretty much do this all the time. When you're working out of the residence, there's no difference between, work and home. I'm spending most of my time on communication just because everybody is desperate to know what the hell is going on. It changes so much every day. Is it antibody testing? Is it PCR testing? Is it Hartford? Is it getting to Eastern Connecticut? So I get a lot of briefings. I do the best I can to get the information out there. Our commissioners are on all the time with their key stakeholders. I talk to business. I talk to labor. I talk to educators. We talk to the legislative leadership. Paul Mounds does, on an almost daily basis, just to make sure that all the rumors are out there are stopped dead in their tracks.
Any announcements coming today?
I think big stuff today is the Fed's passed another paycheck protection program with some support for underserved communities. I think we're going to roll that out in detail so that our businesses can get to the front of the line. They know exactly what they got to do there. We got to coordinate that with the banks because the banks are the ones that process those loans. And if they get to the front of the line, then we get a higher percentage of the loans than we would otherwise. That'll be a big piece of what we're doing. And we're also rolling out the smart thermometers. These are thermometers where you take your temperature, you take your family's temperature, and it Bluetooths up to the cloud. And that way we can tell early indicator of where the virus is going, at least by measuring fever patrols. So those are the two things that I think we'll be focusing on today.
Well, that would let us know where people have fevers, right? Not coronavirus.
Exactly. Okay. But one of the things that Burke said I think is interesting is the normal flu season is sort of behind us. So if you have flu, it probably is COVID. If you have flu-like symptoms, it probably is like COVID now.
Oh.
It is COVID now.
Oh, interesting.
It's good to know.
All right, Governor, thanks for the time. We really appreciate it. Hope to talk to you soon.
All right. Chaz, AJ, thanks, guys.
Stay well. You got it, Governor Lamont.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.